Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Are open and you can join us. Number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Tonight, joining you, it's Ian
and Chris.
And from an undisclosed location, it's nobody.
Indeed, good to have you guys here. As always, there's plenty in the news to discuss here tonight. Chris, you've got a story coming up. We're going to look at the various different crackdowns on freedom that are happening over in the EU. And why does that matter? Well, it's because a lot of these governments, you know, we're not located in that location, that we're not in that part of the world, but a lot of governments, they do monkey see, monkey do. So when one government does one thing, other governments are watching to see what the reaction is and whether they get away with it, if it's challenged, and then they do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. And we may not be there, but the U.S. government certainly is, so...
You mean as far as in the European Union?
Yeah.
They're very interested in what's going on over there. In fact, I've got some news about them as well. There's also a crackdown on Z Library. I have never heard of the Z Library until recently, but apparently somebody put up a library free of all kinds of like e-books. Whether or not they were legal is another question, and the federal government has decided they're going to crack down.
Yeah, there's a few of them out there. I think that is it's like the Library of Alexandria. It's got every ebook that is known to exist.
What it seems like. So they're coming down hard on those folks. Also, the Twitter situation continues to develop in a somewhat entertaining fashion. The most recent development there is you guys may have heard that when Elon Musk took over Twitter, basically after, I don't know if it was the first week or the first few days, he just axed 50% of the staff. So they knocked out a good half of the staff.
Wait, was it that high?
Yeah, I believe it was. And then...
Oh, that's not the half of it. No, it was the half of it.
Right. And then this week, they cut even more out, according to, let's see here, Yahoo News, Elon Musk. Now the mainstream media... Go ahead.
He didn't actually fire them.
Correct.
He basically put out a memo that said, look, if you're going to stay here, you need to commit to showing up to work, doing your job, and being hardcore about it.
Right.
And apparently the responses from that were enough to at least frighten people who didn't know what was going on outside the company, although Twitter is still operating fine.
Yeah, there's been a lot of press about this in the last 24 hours or so. The mainstream media has been acting as though Twitter is going to go down, that it's over, they're going to lose all their staff, and they're not going to be able to keep the site online because of the mass, not layoffs per se, but essentially people are, they're basically terminating their own positions by choosing not to agree to essentially what Elon Musk is saying here. He basically gave them an ultimatum, said they had 36 hours to decide whether or not to continue with Twitter. They had to check a yes box on a Google form in order to continue working for Twitter. And they basically had to agree, as nobody had said there, to what he called a quote-unquote extremely hardcore, unquote, Twitter 2.0, or leave the company. And said they were to expect long hours at high intensity. And it seems as though a large number of employees have rejected Musk's vision. The New York Times reported the number was in the hundreds, while other early reports suggest the number could be much higher. So basically people are saying that he fired 50% and then he managed to tweak another quarter of the original staff, the original numbers, so basically another half of what was left, into no longer continuing to work on their own voluntary basis. So that's the situation.
Well, if we can keep spreading that message, I'm liking this message. You know, I mean, Twitter. Yeah, guys, Twitter's dead. Move on. Check out Mastodon. This is a good thing. That's more decentralized, and I'm not necessarily on the left here saying that, even though the left's been saying that. But it's kind of funny. The right saying something that kind of sounds good. You know, we're gonna destroy the company, and then the left is propagating it. And well, it seems like it's best for everybody because now we're no longer controlled by any side.
Yeah, although I believe that, again, reports of Twitter's demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Absolutely.
Elon Musk is not the fool that the leftists would make him out to be, and I suspect that he had very specific reasons for doing this.
Absolutely.
He also has a bevy of software engineers, and keep in mind that, you know, most of the big tech companies have a few hundred developers. Twitter, for some reason, had 3,000 of them.
Doing what?
I can't imagine what they were doing. Drinking wine and eating lunch for free, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could understand if they were like...
Which explains why they were never profitable.
Yeah, weren't they costing... I think he was saying... he said early on when he took over the company that it was bleeding $4 million a day.
Well, now I know why.
I believe it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've looked at the site. Unless there are huge treasure troves of features that I've never found, I have no idea what 3,000 people were doing working on that project.
There were not 3,000. There could not have been 3,000 developers working on Twitter. That just seems absolutely insane.
That's the thing. They get hired, and then, as nobody pointed out, they sit around or they don't even come to work, and they collect a paycheck.
I mean, look, I would say I could, like, see that if it was, like, I don't know, they were developing an operating system and maybe other products and things like that. Like, I could maybe see that, but 3,000 on Twitter?
Yeah.
That's just unbelievable.
Okay, right now I'm looking at a state called Statista, and it shows that December 2021, Twitter's total employees were 7,500.
Wow.
December 2020, it was only 5,500. A year before that, it was 4,900. So a lot of these people were hired within the last year, 2,000 of them.
That's crazy.
Now, that's not software developers. That's total employees.
Right, right. Well, I'd expect there to be a lot more employees than software developers, but still, for Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, apparently there is a lot of middle management also.
Mm, yeah, like six middle managers for every one developer, probably.
Well, that wouldn't be borne out by 3,500 software developers and 7,500 total employees.
That's true.
But yet there were a lot more middle managers than were needed from everything I understand. I've been finding this very interesting.
It's been entertaining for sure.
Yeah.
This guy is absolutely, you know, a very sharp businessman. You know, whether or not you agree with his viewpoints, and for instance, he did make a decision today to apparently reinstate the Babylon Bee account, which is, of course, the big competitor to The Onion in satirical, quote-unquote, news. They're a pretty entertaining group, and in fact, I would argue they've gotten better than The Onion in recent years. The Onion got too
politicized. I like a lot of their stuff. They get where The Onion got politicized, and Babylon Bee is also political, but
they
about
do.
Half
they
the time their politics align with mine, so it's funny anyway. But then they get off onto a bunch of religious stuff sometimes.
Yeah,
it just makes
true.
Me go, eh? That leaves me cold.
Well, it is called the Babylon Bee, and so it does kind of have a religious overtone to it.
It is explicitly a Christian site, so they're not advertising advertising falsely.
Yeah, you know what you're getting into that. So they restored his account or their account today. They restored Jordan Peterson and also Kathy Griffin, who was the leftist comedian who was banned recently for impersonating Elon Musk on the site. And he decided to bring all of them back. And then when somebody asks, because you know, whenever Elon Musk posts, he's got 100 million followers. So whenever he posts, there's thousands of comments, right? He responded to one person who said, "What about Alex Jones?"
Ooh.
And he said, "No." So, despite moments before that having talked about how Twitter is all about freedom of speech, hold that thought.
He may be concerned about liability.
We'll continue here in moments, and, well, again, he's saying it's free speech, but then he says he's not going to bring Alex Jones back. More coming up.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology, a pre-recorded voice about offers, or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. Bring in whatever you want. Number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Chris, Nobody joining you in this, the show tonight. Of course, the phones are open and you can bring up absolutely anything you want. We're going to get into the EU cracking down perhaps on privacy coins. That's on the way. Plus, Mastodon, is it going to survive the upcoming Digital So-Called Services Act? Chris has that story. We're going to get into that shortly here, and we'll find out what that's all about and, you know, what that means for the future of freedom on the Internet, what remains of it. But we were starting out by talking about some of the latest drama in the Twitter universe with Elon Musk's takeover just, what, 2-3 weeks old or something like that at this point. It hasn't been going on for too long. He's already chopped half of the staff out of Twitter, and now hundreds more at least, maybe more than that, maybe more than 1,000. The numbers, I don't think, have been finalized yet, have decided to no longer continue working there because they don't want to actually work, basically, is what it comes down to. Elon Musk had given them a deadline on Wednesday. They had until like 5 o'clock the following day to decide whether or not they wanted to stay with the company in what he described as a extremely hardcore mode of working. He's not going to stand for people not coming into work, which is sort of the standard mode of operations for Twitter previously, was if you just didn't feel, hey, you don't feel like coming in, it's no problem, you don't have to. Now you got to come into work. Now you've got to do things to actually get paid. And so the kind of employees that don't want to actually work, they decided they weren't going to continue. So we don't know how many employees remain at Twitter, but the mainstream media has been trying to make it sound like that this is the end. That last night, it was, they were wondering whether Twitter was going to survive the night because they lost so much of their critical operations staff. And I don't know about you, Nobody, but I have seen no downtime. There have been claims that there's been a lot of outages with Twitter. Have you seen anything about that?
I've seen nothing. It's worked perfectly for me every time I've pulled it up today. I've also seen no... I've seen lots of people vaguely saying Twitter is falling apart, but I've seen nobody say, oh, I lost Twitter for an hour today or mm-hmm. anything like that. There's never anything specific. It's just this vague nonsense.
It does beg the question of how long it would actually take to go down, you know, after, like, say, firing all the employees, right? Like, mm-hmm. how long could it keep going?
Well, I mean, until bit rot sets in, I would imagine, which...
What is bit rot?
Bit rot is what they call it when software is unmaintained and slowly stops working. That's what Cell 411 was suffering from, and the way that happens is things like the APIs that are used by the app will change, mm-hmm. and the app will not be updated to work with new APIs, so all of a sudden things will stop working.
Right, so the rest of the Internet is moving onward, and you're just in a status,
you know what,
stasis.
Good example of this might be something like, let's say the web browsers start discontinuing support for sites that are not using SSL certificates, right?
Well, which they have been doing.
Right. So, you know, if Twitter doesn't have SSL where it's not on by default or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your browser all of a sudden doesn't allow you to access sites that don't have SSL certificates, well, you go to Twitter and it won't work anymore. So,
gotcha. But yeah, everything's been working fine with Twitter, even though there's a hashtag RIP Twitter that has been trending as users were hoping, I think, that Musk couldn't hold things together. But the fact is there's plenty of people. As you said, Nobody, he has a lot of engineers in his back pocket. He's got people that work over at Tesla, which is not just a hardware company, but a software company, right? Like, it's they are computer cars at their core. They're operating, you know, on software, driving on software. Whether you think that's a good idea or not, that's what they're doing. And I saw another thread where people were just basically volunteering volunteering, like, hey, look, man, we got your back. We'll come work for you, essentially. So there's plenty of people who are interested in doing work on this particular platform. It seems like all the media coverage is way overblown. And there were, by the way, there were angry employees outside of their San Francisco location, apparently with like a projector, and they were projecting insults on the Twitter headquarters against Elon Musk.
No, it wasn't a projector. What it was is the Twitter headquarters. I've seen video of this. They've got a ticker tape, a lighted ticker tape,
really?
Outside that's part of the that is part of the building, and somebody on their way out the door apparently changed the text on that ticker tape.
Oh, wow.
So it was the building itself that was projecting this stuff.
Oh, I didn't realize that. When I saw the footage, it looked like somebody was shooting something from the across the street. But, you know, whatever. Either way, it was it's pretty ridiculous, some of the behavior that has, you know, been happening from the now former employees with Twitter.
I think Elon did make his first mistake today, though.
How's that?
Well, he announced a new policy saying that basically positive tweets would be given more reach mm-hmm. than negative tweets. Tweets, which would be de-reached. I can't remember.
Yeah, I've got the actual tweet here. Here's what he said. Here's what he said. New Twitter policy is freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. Negative/hate tweets will be max de-boosted and demonetized, so no ads or other revenue to Twitter. You won't find the tweet unless you specifically seek it out, which is no different from the rest of the internet. He said, note, this applies just to the individual tweet, not the whole account. But then within minutes, he had said that he was no longer going to be, he was not going to be undoing the ban on Alex Jones, and he further addressed that the Trump decision has yet to be made. So as of right now, Donald Trump's account is still in the suspended status on Twitter.
Yeah, and I think in both cases that may be related to legal issues. You know, the first thing being that, say, Alex Jones went on there and started trash talking the people who are suing him. Elon could be considered liable for that if he intentionally let them back on. And the same thing if
he never kicked them off in the first place. So that was the prior owner.
That's true. But if he created that, if he returned him, he might be.
No,
liable
see,
for
I,
his,
I
for
think this
his
is,
actions.
No, I'm going to disagree. I think it's
trying to raise a revolution.
No, if he institutes a policy that's not specific to any user, that won't be a legal issue, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I'll tell you this. I know that our Syndicate Genesis Communications Network, they were sued originally in the whole Alex Jones lawsuit over the things he said on the air, and they ended up dropping them. The plaintiffs dropped GCN from the suit.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Lake effect snow in western and northern New York is causing headaches for the region, including travel problems. This airline passenger was trying to get from Buffalo to Florida for a cruise, but his flight was canceled.
Yeah, so, you know, this is normal for us. But at this point in time, it's middle of November, is not. We haven't seen this type of snowfall in quite some time.
The National Weather Service forecasting some parts of the region could get up to 4 feet of snow by Sunday. The White House is fighting back against Republicans suing the Biden administration over its student loan forgiveness program. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the administration is asking the Supreme Court to allow it.
We are confident in our legal authority to carry out this program, and we won't let these baseless lawsuits stop us either.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can join the show by dialing in here at 603-283-6160. Since we're talking about social media, we want to invite you over to our social media server. It is running what is called Mastodon. It's an open source free alternative to Twitter. It basically does what Twitter does. You can post a thing, and by the way, we changed our limits. We can act because we run the server. We can set the number of characters that you're limited to. So Twitter's like 280. Ours is 1776. So you get
that's up from 500.
Yeah. Now it depends on what. It depends on what client you use. So
okay.
Some clients don't take note of the character limit being different.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're using one of those clients, it might still show 500. But if you're on like social.freetalklive.com, it should be 1776. Hmm. You got plenty of characters there to express yourself at social.freetalklive.com. And we set the rules because it's our server, and there's basically not very many rules. So it's like, hey, you don't like what you see on there? Just block the person. We don't want to hear about it. We don't want you to. We don't care about your complaints.
I'm just waiting for somebody to get us raided over the things that come out of your mouth.
What do you think that would get us raided? I mean, we've been raided for a lot of things.
Not because of what you said, but when somebody does in reaction to what you said, there's not many rules. Blah, blah, blah. People will take that to the extreme.
You should be able to express yourself. I mean, obviously, you can't break the law or whatever because we have to. Jurisdiction and all that. But as far as your opinions are concerned, you can have whatever opinions you want. Just don't spam us, okay? That's all. So head over to social.freetalklive.com. When you sign up, you will need to input. There's like a little question about, how'd you find, why are you here, that kind of thing. Just mention Free Talk Live, and you'll be good to go. That's how we keep out most of the spam artists. So check it out at social.freetalklive.com. As we continue here, you know, I feel like we've covered the latest Twitter news, and that is that hundreds more employees have been blown out. The people that basically didn't want to come to work, the people that weren't hardcore enough to continue on with under Elon Musk's control, and so that's kind of interesting to watch that develop. But something you've been paying attention to, Chris, has been Mastodon on over the years. You encouraged us years ago to get started with Mastodon, and we did. We put one of those servers up, I think it was in 2020, I believe. It's been a couple years now, because I think we had it in place before the raid happened.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So I think it was sometime in 2020. So it's been at least 2 years now that we've had Mastodon going, and it's a great alternative to...
Matrix was definitely before the raid.
Yep. It's a great alternative. Matrix is our chat server. That's a different story. There's no news about Matrix tonight, but we do have news about Mastodon. And as I say, you can experience it for yourself at social.freetalklive.com. There are a number of Mastodon servers out there, thousands of them. Some of them are somewhat welcoming, others not so much. They can kind of cultivate whatever community that they want to cultivate. So take a look around and see what you like, but definitely try ours out if you like the show and you think you would enjoy it. So what do we need to know here with Mastodon? Because they are European-based. There's the main programmers, as I understand it, are based in Germany and France.
That is an interesting question.
At least that's what I've heard.
Yeah, I actually know the guy who one of the guys involved in the protocol, even long before it was Mastodon.
Now, the protocol is something that Mastodon uses, right? What's it called?
Right. now you're getting into the details.
Activity Pub? Is it Activity
Pub?
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
Yeah. So, nobody, you said what?
No, that is it, Activity Pub.
Right, so that... Is that programmed by the Mastodon people, or are the Mastodon guys just using?
Yeah, they're connected. Okay. I do believe let's see, I'm trying to think here. So
because there's other softwares that also use this protocol, not just Mastodon.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Was it Pump? I think it was Pump.io at one point. And anyway, but basically, it's a standard. It became a web or. It's an industry might not be the right word, but it's a standard. It's an internet standard, actually.
Mm-hmm. It's a protocol that's used by multiple open source systems related kind of systems.
It's not specifically Mastodon. Mm-hmm. Mastodon is a piece of software. There's actually competitors to Mastodon, which also use the same protocol, but there's also other programs that they're not a Twitter equivalent that also use that same protocol.
Right.
So,
for example, there's a YouTube clone.
Exactly.
PeerTube uses it.
Is it?
PeerTube, I think, yes. That's at least one of them.
Yeah. Yep.
Although last time I looked at them, they weren't ready for prime time.
Yeah, I remember that too, and that was, we checked them out a couple of years before the raid happened, so again, a couple of years ago, and it wasn't ready for prime time then either, but I like the idea. The idea of it was that you could essentially do live streaming, but without relying on a centralized server. You could do it with the actual clients. The people who are watching your live stream would essentially also restream it to other clients, other people that wanted to watch the stream. It's kind of an interesting concept.
Didn't you try to roll that out, actually, at one point here?
We had it.
And it was for a little while. It just wasn't working well enough?
Yeah, it just wasn't that impressive. Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Sometimes things come out that are really cool, but if you adopt them too early...
It's hard. It's a hard thing to accomplish, because when you're dealing with live streaming video, I mean, it's one thing to share a social media post, which is relatively small bandwidth thing in most cases, unless there's a video or a picture attached to it. But, you know, just 200 characters of text is nothing. But 4 megabit a second streaming video or whatever is a whole other story. And then you're dealing with having to deal with all different internet connections and having them try to restream out. And then you got delays that are coming in.
And it may not wait. It may work.
The way I'd want to do that would be to set up a front end that uses Activity Pub and then let it use library on the back end so that you're not serving the video. Library is. All you're serving is a URL.
But even we're talking about live streaming here, not just later playback on demand. We're talking about live streaming. That's the real challenge. And, you know, even Library, or rather Odyssey, which is the platform that uses the library system or the library protocol behind it, even they had to go to centralized servers because they couldn't do it with. They couldn't handle the demand that they were having for the videos that they were serving. Even the ones that weren't live, they couldn't handle the demand for it without going to some sort of centralized architecture. So, I mean, to some extent, there's still a place for that, right? Like, there's a balance out there in tech. Like, we value decentralization here, but, you know, even Mastodon is still a centralized server, right? Like, that's not the true decentralized.
Yeah, it's what you call federated. It's sort of one step away from maybe, like,
there are
true
many centers.
Fully decentralized.
Polycentric, perhaps, we could call that, you know? Because
yeah.
Different
yeah,
servers
it's closer to email, what we have with email, where there's not a single provider.
Right.
There's lots of providers in the interact.
Yeah,
but
you don't like one, you can pick another one or start your own, which is different story than just Twitter or Facebook.
Right. A truly decentralized app would be something something closer to that. I'm trying to think if there's any good examples of
it. We had one that we experimented with a few years ago. I had Michael Hampton put up a server. It was called Pub something. Miniverse Pub, I think, was what it was called.
Is that truly decentralized? I don't know if it is.
Yes, it was, because you could do it without even using internet. You could have people with their wireless device could connect with one another via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi in a local area. Just
yeah, and
whatever
then,
they could,
and it would like relay it and so forth.
And it would relay anytime they encountered other devices.
Users.
Yeah. Really interesting. And again, not quite ready for prime time. Pretty buggy. But the one we were testing was like an alpha release, so it was a pretty early thing. I'd be interested in seeing if it's come along in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that would be more decentralized. And I think probably a good example, something that would be relatively decentralized, although there's a bootstrapping server involved still, might be Napster back in the day.
Napster, but they don't even exist anymore in the old
format.
No,
but
right?
It's an application that everybody knows, right?
Yeah.
So that's why it's a good example of something that was decentralized. It wasn't. You still had to connect to a centralized server to find other peers, but the music itself was actually exchanged
on the peers.
Between users entirely.
Well, that's true with the Miniverse Pub thing, was they actually, you could start a server to have the users connect to if you wanted to, but it wasn't a requirement. So it's kind of an interesting.
Yeah, it might have been more of a caching sort of situation to speed things up.
The number here is, just make it easier to find people, that's all. 603-283-6160, that's 603-283-6160. So apparently the EU may be putting Mastodon in jeopardy.
They
that's
really
story.
Hate freedom.
We'll get into it.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few.
Amazon customer. 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Cue the Air Force. Cue the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering next drive.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you here tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
And also want to make sure that you know about what's been going on with Camp Lejeune. If you've worked or lived at Camp Lejeune between the years of 1953 to 1988, and you've suffered from cancer, Parkinson's disease, or another serious health issue, or it's or one of your family members did, entitled to compensation. They had some contaminants in the years that might have led to those diseases. I want to give you a toll-free number that you can call to find out if you or a loved one are eligible. But there may be some deadlines involved in this, so don't wait on this. Give a call to 888-918-1037. That's 888-918-1037. If you were at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1988 and you've had a serious health issue, money is already set aside. That number again, 888-918-1037. So we were talking about these alternatives to the big mega tech corporation, the Twitters and the Facebooks and the TikToks of the world. And some of them doesn't look like they've really made it. We were talking about this thing called Metaverse, oh, yeah. And I looked into it because I said on the air, I wonder how it's coming along. I haven't checked it out in a few years. Technically, I'm not allowed to use social media without government permission, but I certainly can do research on it, and it hasn't been updated in 3 years. So literally, it was probably like around the time that we were experimenting with this was the last time the software was updated. So that one seems to be dead in the water. But Mastodon is alive and well. It's been getting a lot of press recently, especially with the whole Twitter fallout thing. I mean, a lot of people on the left found themselves looking for a new home when Elon Musk took over Twitter. Of course, to be fair, many of them said they were going to leave, but they haven't actually left. But some have, and they've been looking for somewhere else to go, and Mastodon is sort of the go-to alternative as far as there being many options. It's software that is continually being developed.
Yep. It's really, and the difference, you know, what's interesting about Mastodon by comparison to, like, I don't know, like this, what was it, Scuttlebutt and some of these others, I guess, or Miniverse, I guess, is that it goes back, I think, at least a decade or so. And so
Mastodon's development, and
the protocols behind it,
yeah.
It existed under a prior name effectively, you know, for a long time, and that was probably more heavily development stage, but nonetheless, it was used. Not a lot of users, but it was used. And over the years, especially over the last 4 or 5 years, Mastodon has really taken off, especially in, like, libertarian circles. And it, basically what I'm trying to say is it's expanded beyond technical people, right? Mm-hmm. You know, early on it was mostly, and it wasn't even just technical people. Early on it was, like, software people. And then it kind of grew, and others started using it. And then the right wing, the right Gab
took it on and caused a big stir.
Right, and now the left is jumping on board. Mm-hmm. So
Truth Social, Trump's site, is running Mastodon.
Right. Yeah. So it's really come, and it's at a point where it's actually a fully developed solution. That isn't, you know, difficult to use or, you know.
Apparently it's difficult to admin from what I'm told by our tech.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that. That's why.
But for the user, it's pretty much like Twitter. I mean, they basically have aped what Twitter does.
And some of the admin stuff is Mastodon, but some of it's, I don't think so much Mastodon as the servers and other related components that it's built on. Or
I'll tell you, there's some things that I from an administrative perspective, are the users won't know this, but there's some clunky stuff behind the scenes.
Okay.
Dealing with spam is a real problem, so that's why we've turned on the requirement for somebody to actually do a sign up box and explain why they've joined the server. So we literally are having to manually approve everybody that joins the server, because if we don't, there's no way to stop spam.
Yeah.
There's nothing at all. There's no system for that. So that's one problem from the back end. The other one is there's the Mastodon people, the programmers, and it's open source, so someone could theoretically fix this, right? But the people who are currently programming it, they make it so there's like this feature that, certain story might be trending. Right, meaning that somebody on your, multiple people on your server or on other servers are posting about the same story, right? Whatever that might be. So something in the news, multiple people have posted the same link, and then the back end of Mastodon will alert the admins, hey, there's this trending story, but they make it so you have to approve every one of them. We started out trying to do this in the very beginning, you know, when this feature came in. It wasn't when we started with Mastodon.
Yeah.
It was a newer feature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't have time for this crap. And you can't just, there's no setting that could just automatically approve all of them. Because, we have to, the Mastodon programmers are worried about safety. So
yeah.
They want to make sure they keep everybody safe from dangerous, you know, links and misinformation and things like that. So that's kind of annoying.
I can probably fix that for you relatively quickly.
You got enough on your hands.
I don't know if this is a good idea.
I don't need you taking any focus off of Cell 411. I know a lot of people are really, really concerned with seeing that thing come to fruition. So
that's true.
A whole other story.
So, you know, it's interesting that we should be speaking of this, because I think some of the times, sometimes certain features get added, and I don't necessarily know that this is the situation in this particular case with Mastodon, but some of these features are actually getting added. Like, for example, the pop-up, right? Every website you got to click on, I accept for cookies right?
Yeah.
That was a European thing, right? That was a European law that they passed, and as
a
result,
everybody's obeying it.
Every platform, every software developer added some functionality to the default.
Yeah.
And so that's why you run into that. Even if you're not on a European website and you're on a US website,
we don't do it on our site, by the way.
I know. We don't either on my company's site either. But, you know, it's one of these things that ends up in there because of
compliance.
You know, government.
They just want to comply to the maximum. Corporations always want to comply to the maximum for the most part. That way they don't have to think about it.
In some respects,
I've got a question on that, Chris.
Yeah.
Why do you think that sites haven't said, don't look at the IP address of the incoming connection and say, oh, this person isn't from Europe, we don't need to show them the cookie box?
That's a good question, and I don't have an answer to that. If I had to speculate, I'm guessing it's because somebody just, I don't know, like nobody, I don't know if it's... It, it's probably not built into the software, like the default tools that people are using. So, and if it's not, it means it's work for somebody to actually go in and like add that functionality. And, you know, you're simply trying to comply with the law in
they
those cases.
They took the easy way out. They just apply it to everybody.
Right, right. I think that's what it ultimately comes down to probably. You know, it's like, am I going to just let it happen on every user, or am I going to, you know, go and spend, you know, who knows how many hours trying to add in some sort of code or, you know, find a plugin, you know, to make it so that it only shows up for, you know, Europe. And there's other potential reasons, too. Like, for example, you know, just because Europe has this law, it doesn't mean that, you know, there aren't maybe other countries that have this law. And if you want to make sure you're compliant, you just let it happen
everywhere.
Right, exactly.
So what is the Digital Services Act, and how could it possibly be affecting the furtherance of Mastodon?
Yeah, so the Digital Services Act is a European, you know, act that they're probably is going to pass here. And
most of the tyrannical internet stuff seems to happen in Europe first.
Yeah.
Although Australia had some bad stuff back in the day. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So it's basically a response to, you know, big tech is the idea. But so let me read some of it.
Oh, so the government of the EU is positioning itself as trying to, quote unquote, fight big tech.
Yeah, it's, I think along those lines, they're trying to fight big tech by incorporating like censorship, something to that effect. So it's been around. So, oh, let me back up a second here and say this is
stories from
Tech Press, or I'm sorry, techpolicy.press.
All right.
And it's titled, Can Mastodon Survive Europe's Digital Services Act? Yes, in the process of trying to regulate big tech, they're going to undermine the small tech.
Wait, I'm shocked by this. You're telling me the government regulations actually hurt the little guy?
Yeah. Wow. Who would have thought? It's been around 2 weeks since Elon Musk, the world's richest man, acquired Twitter, and already increasing fears of what this
Elon
means.
Musk, that's the trans version of Elon Musk. Sorry, you said Elon.
I did, didn't I?
I'm just waiting for his first scandal, which of course will be Elongate.
Yeah, right? Increasing fears of what this means for free speech on the microblogging, I love how they describe it as a microblogging platform, have begun to proliferate, with Musk firing some of Twitter's key personnel, including Twitter's legal chief, and terminating contracts with outsourced content moderators. Many users are looking for an alternative.
Indeed. And I'm going to predict that Mastodon will survive because it's open source software, and it doesn't matter whether the developers...
Oh, it's going to survive. Whether it survives in Europe is the question.
That's, yeah, we'll get into it coming up here. Can you run a server in Europe is ultimately, I guess, going to be what they're looking
without
at
being
here.
Shut down.
Yeah, we'll talk about it coming up, and you can share your thoughts. What is this Digital Services Act, and could it be coming to the United States?
No.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.